Perth. And on the line now, I have Audran Reid. Good morning, Audran.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And thanks very much for taking the call. Now, you're employed by TU Dublin. I've interviewed TU Dublin on numerous occasions before.
Yeah.
And you're also a member of the, an elected representative of the PPN, the Public Participation Network. Will you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, Audran?
Sure, yeah. No, again, in the Northside area, I did a lot of work with Northside Partnership. I kind of was a corporate strategy person with them for, nearly 17 years. And in that, I worked with a lot of community organisations. So when the PPN set up, I became involved in trying to get more and more people involved. My own background is I'm an economist, but I've also qualified now as a planner. So I kind of bring different aspects of planning, the economics and the social and the local government side. So I've been kind of active in community organisations for most of my life and worked in the NGO sector most of my life.
Okay, and I'm looking here at two local organisations, Northside Home Care Service and Northside Counselling Service. I've interviewed Northside Home Care Service, and both of them are wonderful organisations. How did you get involved with that, Audran? I take it you're a local, are you?
Well, I'm living in Glasnevin and I grew up in Finglas, but I've been involved, like I say, working in that area for, near on 20 years now. So... the home care board, again, when we were working in Northside Partnership, it was very, very small, and we came in to rescue it. And since then, it has grown to being very substantive. Again, I had experience in governance. The very first job I had was in corporate governance. But the counselling service, when the former CEO of Northside was retiring, I came in and took over the chair of that, and again we've been working through what is probably the most difficult period of time you could ever have for a small organisation now. Difficult in terms of funding, but also now difficult in terms of how to operate with COVID. But both of them are frontline organisations, so it's been quite a challenge.
Yeah, it was a girl, Maria, I spoke to, from Northside Home Care.
She's fabulous.
And how was the home, the Meals on Wheels, for instance, did that happen during COVID?
Again, this has been a lifeline for lots of people. It's a fantastic group of volunteers delivering meals. I think we've done well over 40,000 meals last year. Initially, we were operating in our kitchens, but then we purchased in the meals from a producer, Crest Foods, and it's been really, really successful. It's not just a matter of just feeding people; it was also a way of checking in on people to make sure they were okay. Some people just couldn't get out of their houses. Normally they couldn't get out of their houses, but now it's even worse. So this was really impressive turnaround.
Yeah, and as well as providing a service, it's also social outing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, the volunteers, they're great people and they will talk to the people that they're delivering the meals to.
Absolutely. And the same with the people who deliver the care to people as well. It could be the only person somebody will see for a number of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, dropping in, making sure they're okay. I think it's a way that we're going to move more and more towards that. I think the government is going to shift away from doing more developments of nursing homes, trying to keep people in their homes as long as practically possible, but more care.
You know
yourself, like the idea of being able to talk to people. We all felt lonely in coronavirus, but imagine feeling like that on a normal day-to-day basis, watching everybody going through their lives. It's really fantastic to be able to do that.
Yeah. I remember it myself, my children and grandchildren, they were coming up and they were standing in the front garden and talking through the windows, and some of the people you'd be dealing with weren't even able to do that.
No, they weren't. And I think it's something like this gives you an appreciation of how other people have lived their lives, but in a much worse position now, to be in pain or have mobility issues, you know. So I think services like these are just outstanding, and most people don't know they exist until they have to know.
Yeah. And the Northside Counselling, another great organisation, and NearFM has a lifeline. It's a health and wellbeing programme. And my colleague Debbie McMahon, she would have interviewed Northside Counselling on numerous occasions as well.
Yeah, no, again, this was set up post the startup, initially as a response, but subsequent to that, it's actually developed to deliver services free of charge to a load of people who would get near counselling for a long period of time. So, again, this also trains counsellors. So a lot of people who go through that whole process, this is their first chance to actually grow as a counsellor, and they get very, very good mentoring. Our CEO, Carl Tuher, is, again, highly skilled. He just has to finish his PhD now as well, too, so it's a great achievement. And the organisation, again, because we couldn't do face-to-face, we flipped to counselling online, and now we're doing both. So some people who don't want to come into the counselling can actually do it online or over the phone. So COVID has been a disruptor, positive and negative. But it's, again, the organisation, counselling service, always struggles with funding. And that's a real problem. It doesn't have a core funder. But we managed to get by.
Yeah, do you do fundraisers and things like that?
We haven't managed to be able to do that in a long time. Again, the disruption of this. But probably the biggest thing that we've managed to do is we've worked with TU Dublin in Blanchardstown.
Yeah.
And we've now got a degree course operating. They're taking their first intake this year. And a lot of the work in actually developing that was done by Carol Tuher and drafting the syllabus and operation. So, again, this is a real positive benefit for the whole wider area and for our society in general.
It is.
So for a small organisation, it's a huge achievement.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And thank you and your colleagues for the services you provide. I just want to move on now to the PPN. You're an elected representative on the Economic Development and Enterprise SPC. Just explain to the listeners what that entails.
Well, again, getting on to it, one of the local organisations nominated me and I stood for election and got elected to it. What the Strategic Policy Committees of the City Council, I think there are seven or eight of them, operate. They meet four times a year. And what they're supposed to do is take a strategic overview of policy for the city. The economic and enterprise one, I suppose the core focus of it now is trying to re-kick the Dublin economy. A lot of disruption, again, by COVID. We'll see some of the improvements in terms of the public realm and putting bicycle lanes and things like this on to allow people to survive, businesses and cafes and restaurants and everything else like this. So things like that are going to be important going into the future. But two subcommittees, one of them I was on the European one, where we're looking at how the City Council engages with the European Union and other cities, and try and get European programmes to come and invest in Ireland. And we've put a huge application into government for that at the moment. The second one, which I'm not on, but I'm equally excited and I'd love to have been on it, was on the development of the nighttime economy. To Dublin, after COVID, when we open up again, where is the nighttime economy going to take place? And I can't just be in the city centre. I'm going to have to try and see if we can air this out throughout the area, not to make the rest of the city passive. So just to make the city a more exciting and enjoyable place to be.
Yeah, and get it back up and running, get it back up on its feet after the horrible.
Yeah, we've all suffered.
Now, the PPN, there's hundreds of different organisations, NGOs, charities, you know, organizations, lots of them. And I'd say there's a lot of networking goes on. You all help each other out.
Yeah. I think I was talking to Ruth, who is the coordinator, recently. Like, there's over 800 members now. And again, of that, you'll have about 20% very active, and a lot of people buying in and out of different things. But the networking piece, sometimes community organisations are so busy trying to survive on a day-to-day basis that they don't get a chance to network. And this is a huge opportunity for them. They learn that they're not alone, and they learn that there are other ways of doing things. And, you know, they struggle with governance. They struggle with trying to deal with funding organisations. And sometimes smaller organisations get bullied a bit by government. So I think it's really necessary that kind of they work in a unison and strengthen numbers together.
Yeah, and there's residents' associations involved with Dublin City PPN as well. And I note here that you're going to help people write submissions to DCC with regards to the Dublin City Development Plan.
Well, I know there is a training session going on with the former Lord Mayor Andrew Montague at the moment. But post this, I think it's important that people think about the development plan. Most people don't understand the development plan or don't know much about it. I was involved in some down the country, and about a third of towns came out and got involved in their own development plan. In Dublin, very few people do. And it's not so much that you influence the whole framework of the city, but it gives people in local areas a chance to reflect on their own areas. Sometimes we look at planning and the planning permissions and all the technical stuff, but on the basic level, sometimes it's just about storytelling about your own area, who you are, where do you live, what does the area function as in terms of housing or transport, but also the environment. We're under a lot of pressure, as most people will know, in terms of planning permissions going in, and sometimes going in very large ones.
Yeah.
And it's making people afraid. And sometimes getting involved in these things, you get to understand a little bit more about what is happening and how you can help design your own city and where you live. So I think that's important, and I think it's important people look at that. And submissions don't have to be massive, huge tomes. It can be short, sharp pieces. But it's usually best that people actually have a chance to talk it out with other people, because a city is about collectively living together.
Yeah, now I talk to a lot of local councillors, particularly about planning and planning applications, and I know that local communities can be very worried about some of the things that are going in because of height, and the height restrictions were done away with there a while ago. And the councillors themselves are very frustrated at what's going on. I'm sure you're aware of the development up the road here in the Oscar Traynor Road. It's been going on for years, and still nothing has been agreed.
So, I know.
And these submissions, I was giving out the closing date for these submissions to people, and is it a €20 fee? But you can get a crowd of people, and it'll still be €20 fee, but you have to give in your name and your address.
And sometimes the number of people getting together and agreeing what the submission is, it's just the same as maybe 100 people putting in all sorts of stuff. And a lot of people will put submissions in and just say, I hate it. You need to be a little bit more than saying, I hate it. You know, I have to say, what's wrong with it? Why does it impact? I know a lot of community organisations have become very good at this. But partially now we've got to a stage where it's very hard to build in the city because there are so many objections and so many good objections. I sometimes think one of the biggest debates we have to have is how do we engage with our developers to find out what it is we actually want? Because you rightly pointed to this height issue, height's not a major problem in some locations. In other locations, it is. And I've seen now some, not so much on the Oscar Traynor Road, I know there's Chiver site and then a couple of other sites as well, where they've come and they've added three or four more stories on. You know, there's issues with winds, there's issues with shading, and it also takes longer to build the bigger the building. And in a crisis, that's a real problem. We need to actually speed some of the housing developments up. So height isn't always your friend as a developer either. It costs a lot more to develop. And as we all know, housing is incredibly expensive.
Yeah, and it's a huge problem at the moment. The lack of housing is a huge problem at the moment. Now, Ojan, unfortunately, we're running out of time. We have to take a break. And would you like to? Is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
Just one thing on this one, and yeah. I think it's really important if people are listening on this one, and they often wonder whether they should get involved in anything else. I mean, it's hard to get volunteers involved in things now. And I think the benefits you get out of doing things are really worthwhile. And I would always encourage people, if they can go to a local community organisation and become involved, it enriches the area. And it also, as I say, even things like planning, it gives you that focus to actually discuss things with neighbours and everything else that goes on. But become proactive. And when it comes to something like a development plan, inform yourself and make a submission. Submissions on that are free. But talk to your local representatives and think about what your area, what you'd like about your area to be. I mean, in TU Dublin, we'd be glad to assist people to think some of these things through as well. So it's important. It's a big debate. It's how we live. And
yeah.
So far, we've got a lot of things wrong, a lot of things right as well. But listening to people, I think, is critically important.
Yeah, it'll help get things right
at
the end.
Absolutely, yeah.
Listen, Ojan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And once again, thank you very much for taking the call.
John, thank you very much. It's really great to be able to talk.
Yeah, and if there's ever anything you want to cover, just make contact with Near FM.
Okay. Absolutely.
Right.
Will do.
Thank you, Ojan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Bye.